think of something which is necessary but not primary. Well, look, we just had a meal. Trevor, packed my lunch? Thanks. So, is eating necessary in the village's life? I hate to say it's primary. All right. What mainly distinguishes secular institutes from religious institutes is community life. How many missed that? Well, thanks for missing it, because give me a chance to say something. That really is the distinctive feature. Because secular institutes do take vows, right? And they engage the apostolate. It's got to be something different, and there's only one thing left: community life. Number 9. Wearing a distinguishing habit by religious is required by the church. How many said something else? Oh, well, may I enlighten you? How many said recommended? How many said requested? Yeah. There are 3 R's, but there's only one that's correct: required. Which you'd never guess from the number of sisters now who are not in secular garb, right? You can't imagine that many disobedient women. About 10 years ago, when the revolution had just got started, I gave a lecture at the National Convention of Vocation Directors. It happened to be somewhere outside of Chicago. And I talked for a full hour. I said, the crisis in religious life is obedience. And not so much obedience within the community as obedience of superiors to the Holy See. Well, I was lucky to, pardon me, I'm exaggerating, leave the place in one piece. They were so upset that I had said that. And the habit came up. The Holy See has literally become tired of repeating that a religious habit is required.
What do they say a religious habit should be? I mean, like, what's the minimum or the maximum?
Well, it should be distinguished, really distinguished from secular garb. And it should be really distinguished from a secular garb that everyone will recognize this as a sign of consecration. Now, as part of that, barring places where religious garb is forbidden, as it is in some countries, Mexico, for example, or countries behind the Iron Curtain, that means a distinctive uniform garb which for women includes the veil. It is well to know, by the way, that when the Second Vatican Council voted on Perfecti Caritatis, there were 19 areas they voted on. They divided the document into 19 pieces. They separately voted, the whole hierarchy of the Catholic Church voted. And the vote was something like 2,200 bishops to about 10. In other words, even if they hadn't voted that overwhelmingly, besides the Pope has to approve it, they voted separately on the habit. There are some 100,000 changes made in the documentation on Perfecti Caritatis over a period of years, recommendations and changes. In all the drafts of Perfecti Caritatis, all the drafts, religious habit, from the first summoning of the commission to the final draft of Perfecti Caritatis, there was always a required religious habit. Okay. Number 10. Christian obedience is our submission to authority, superiors, the will of God.
Question? I put down authority because not only some people don't obey the authority, but their superiors say they're obeying the will of God.
Well,
of course, it's not really.
Well, I would say yes. In fact, all three are correct. Now, the reason I chose the will of God over the other two was that I wanted to bring out two things. First of all, Christian obedience, and not just say to those who are in religious communities. And secondly, I wanted to bring out the fact that all submission to authority or superiors is not necessarily Christian obedience. Do you agree? All obedience to superiors or authority is not necessarily Christian obedience. For example, yesterday and last night when I got in, there was a phone call from another state where the community is secularized in the extreme. It is still in existence, Midwestern community, well known without identifying it, and the sisters are all over the country, and you name it, what positions. Well, this particular religious sister has been working and not turning in her salary to the community. She was so counseled by pretty high authority in the church that she may do that. In fact, the community has no prospect of a future. She's hoping that somehow her vows will survive. So she was not obedient. And I've seen letters insisting that she pay up. The sisters have to pay a tax. That's their poverty. But she has to support herself. Or where superiors are telling thousands of sisters not to bear the habit. Right?
But they are still following the higher authority, even though
they do feel unnamed. That's what I meant, though. In other words, to put it down as superiors. See, we're living in a very convulsive age. And the one thing that's the main reason that I'm here is because I'm speaking to people who believe in religious obedience.
And I'm sure she went to another authority to determine the will of God in this particular instance. And she goes to another authority to determine the will of God in this particular instance.
Yes,
she
that's true.
She didn't decide on the will of God.
Well, they have to find out what the will of God is.
Yes, but it was within authority. I mean, it has to come from the authority here on earth.
Well, sometimes it can't, sister. There are situations. Now, this is a very important question.
Yes.
And have no fear, sisters, that as long as your community, in its superiors, beginning with the general administration and your constitutions are approved by the church, have no fear that the distinctions that I'm making, but they have to be made, you will be called upon to make. But not to make this distinction would be unfair to almost 100,000 sisters in North America. That's their anguish. about which you hear, you read. Let me tell you, you don't really know what they're going through. You could never dream the suffering they're undergoing. And for them, the will of God, oh, can't imagine the struggling conscience they may have.
It's a fine line, Father, but what I mean is that except there be another authority here on earth telling them that the authority under which they place themselves is acting incorrectly.
Well,
otherwise, we have people who are following the Holy Spirit instead of the
Well, have no
authority.
Fear. I would say, I know what you're driving at. I know exactly what you're saying. But if I didn't make this distinction, I'd be talking in a different age. We're living in today's church, where most religious communities in the United States, their superiors are not submissive to the church's authority. And there are things they just, all kinds of problems and questions keep coming up. They don't know if the, you know, what the church's position on something is. All kinds of things present with this problem here. And well, I could be very autobiographical here because I know just what I'm saying. And I cannot, well, who am I going to appeal to in the church now? I happen to be working for the Holy See, which gives me a great deal of, you might say, of leverage. But many of the questions that arise in a secularized or secularizing community, all the person can do. That's why you are all either in, or please God, if you are interested in becoming religious, the only communities that are represented here, either actually or in potency, are those for whom you could drop number three, okay? Is submission to authority or superiors, period. See? And obedience to the will of God, as one would interpret that, would create a problem. You know, as I understand the will of God from my conscience, I don't have to obey you. You see? So I recognize the problem. But you're living in an age, as I said, where this is a major crisis for most American religious. Number 11. The councils are related to charity as its means. In other words, supernatural charity is protected, is increased, can be perfected through the practice of the councils. How many missed that? Well, I think most of you have. 12. Religious are all to be perfect, striving for perfection or holy. How many missed that? Well, none of you thought that religious were perfect.
I think that question could be confusing because
yes, you're right. So it's the nature of the question, and I had some one thing to bring out, you see, in each question, and I would be the first to admit it could have been expressed either more clearly or accurately. 13. Sacrifice means suffering, surrender, or immolation. How many said something else? Who put down suffering? I'd be very intrigued to know, why do you hate suffering?
I don't
know. Kind of obvious, I admit. See? But why didn't you put down the bell? I don't know how to press you. Surrender. When we suffer, we surrender what? The pleasure or the joy that, at least the absence of pain, that when we suffer, we don't enjoy. Immolation? Who put down immolation? Oh, you're the other thing, but sacrifice is total, complete. Okay. Immolation is complete sacrifice. Martyrdom, for example, is a form of immolation. Oh, no, that's me. No, they get too hard. What does surrender add to suffering? My will. My will. All kinds of people are suffering. Honest. They're not all offering sacraments. Honest. Surrender is the will. So it's some kind of pain, suffering, you name it, and the voluntary acceptance of it, surrendering to God's will. 14. Religious vows are to be made freely. How many add something else?
Yes.
Please? Generously?
I thought no, freely and for life.
Freely and for life. Well, that's. But you, I didn't give you a choice between the two, I have to. Actually, that's the Second Vatican Council's language. The word vow in Latin is votum. It comes from the Latin word volo, I will. Votum is the thing will. So the Vatican Council, to bring out the notion of the vows, that it's one's own free decision to bind oneself for life generously. But the essence of the vow, qua vow, is an act of the will, votum. All right? In other words, nobody does it for you. You can't take a vow for somebody else. Then inform them, I took a vow for you. Oh, you did. But then you keep it. 15. Consecrated chastity is founded on. Anybody have something else? You mean it's unanimous? Thanks. It heartens me. Number 16. Religious witness to the world by their life. Any? What'd you put down? Actions, which is pretty good, but there's more to witness than just action by what you are, right? In fact, there's a proverb in English, say something so I can know who you are. But we do reveal ourselves just by being what we are. All right? With apologies for some of the grace you might have got, it's good for your humility.